I'm looking at a photograph of a very bright-eyed, beautifully coiffed Bryce Courtney. He's a young man with a pipe hanging from his mouth at a jaunty angle. Tonight on ABC One, Bryce Courtney is the focus of Family Confidential at 8 o'clock. And it's said that every home has at least one of his books on the shelf, and every year he writes a novel for Christmas that generates $10 million for the Australian publishing industry. And this is the first year he had to miss Christmas, the Christmas deadline in 20 years due to illness. And Bryce Courtney is these days a Canberra resident, and he joins me. How lovely to talk to you.
Hi, Alex. If you had a look at me at this very moment, quaffed would not be quite the word.
I love the photograph.
Oh,
isn't it gorgeous?
Where on earth did you find it?
I'm feeling there's a kind of a bit of product being used in the hair, a bit of Brill Cream, Bryce.
Mate, it must have been well into the 60s or something, or 50s or whatever.
But I suppose, I'm sorry to hear you've been ill. How are you?
Oh, darling, I'm fine now. You know, I'm splendid. You know, perfect. How could you not be living in Canberra?
Well, that's true. And it's lovely to have you amongst us. Why did you decide to come and live here?
If you want the real honest truth, I've been a member of the Sydney Symphony Orchestra for something like 30 years or perhaps more. And about 4 or 5 years ago, it took me 3 hours to get in and get home from a concert. And I lived 6 kilometres away from the opera house. And I said, enough is enough. This is just getting too hard after 45 years in Sydney. Nearly 50. Mm. So eventually, by making several mistakes on the way, I stumbled on Canberra, and what a delight. You know, recently I went to a similar concert and I was home in 6 minutes. But quite apart from that, we have a lovely home, not over the top, but lovely in Reed. It's 6 minutes from town, and the people are hugely friendly. Mm. I mean, it's lovely to have neighbours who you really cherish and who don't talk about the price for real estate.
Well, this might be the best ad for Canberra for a while, from a former ad man, of course. Because, yes, we do suffer from an image problem. And you say you stumbled across it after looking. I mean, that's interesting in itself. Well, the national capital.
You know, I decided that I wanted to have a rural life, so I bought a place off the Central Coast, and my partner and now wife decided after about 5 years that we'd had enough of the boondocks. And so we made a temporary concession and went to Bowral. Another big mistake.
Ooh.
I didn't want to put people from Barrow down, but it wasn't right for us. And then we found Canberra, where Christine, my wife, went to university and said, why don't we have a look at Canberra? And I, as usual, had that slightly jaundiced look on my face, the curl at the edge of the lip. Canberra! But wow, how wrong I was.
Well, that's
very wrong, I was.
That's just gorgeous to hear. And why did you decide to take part in this show, Family Confidential, being put under the spotlight, Bryce?
Oh, dear, oh, dear. I must say, with great trepidation, I haven't seen it, but
okay.
But I've avoided doing this for years and years and years and years. And because I missed a book this year, my publisher said, all the usual trash about profiles and things like that. It might be a good idea that people have heard that you haven't been well, that you're still on the blue planet. So reluctantly, I said yes, but wow, I'm not sure it's such a great idea.
Was it harrowing to do? Because,
I started life in a very unpromising manner by being born illegitimately and being raised largely in an orphanage, and you never quite get over that sense of not being quite as good as anybody else, and so being private in my private life has been hugely important to us. You know, the book thing is one thing, but your privacy and your family and the idea of a family, because I didn't have one myself, was just too precious. And so, of course, I've been hugely reluctant to do it. But I guess, you know, this is my 79th year, and with only one third of a stomach and a heart valve, I guess maybe it's time to say, well, perhaps people might be vaguely interested in some of the details.
Well, I hear people in Canberra actually going, you know, Bryce Courtney lives here. People seem to be delighted and wanting to know more. And I know, Bryce, later when your book's coming out, I know we're going to have a longer conversation, which I'm really looking forward to. You may not know about that. But
I should love that.
Publisher.
You sound like a really nice person.
Oh, well, Bryce. I'll take that every time. But yeah,
I loved your comment about swimming pools and short people.
Oh, that was Neil's comment, actually. It set the...
Well, tell him I wish I'd written it.
Well, this is this debate, and we spoke to a lovely Muslim woman, because that's part of the argument for this, is this, I suppose, having perhaps, you know, screens or segregation, because it can be difficult for some members of the community. So,
but yeah, that's the thing I like as much as anything about Canberra. It's so, you know, it's so varied and racially mixed and wonderful. Mm. You know, that whole ethnic mix is what makes a city unusual and brilliant. And it's small enough in this area here for you to feel the impact that the great migration that has changed Australia in the 55 years or 54 years that I've been here has taken place. You can actually see it around you, and it's wonderful.
Oh, this is just gorgeous to hear. And Bryce Courtney is my guest, and we're just having a quick chat this morning, because, in fact, you can watch him, and I hope they have the lovely shot of the pipe.
Oh, dear.
I think there might be a beard looking closer.
Is there a beard as well? It's getting worse. I don't know. I have no idea. I've never seen the shot.
It's an absolute beauty. But Bryce, as you say, you kind of resisted this. But, you know, I suppose you have talked about your family, particularly writing about the loss of your beautiful son, which touched so many people.
Yeah, that was about as far as I could possibly get. That was the most painful experience of my entire life, Alex. Mm. If writing were writing April Fool's Day, I would have given it up a long time ago. It was just too painful and too hard. And that, too, confirmed the fact that I never really wanted to divulge very much more. Because when you write something like that, you have to tell the absolute truth. Or if you like, the naked truth. And as a novelist, the naked truth certainly, you know, is something I don't like to confront myself. Mm. With which I don't like to confront myself. You know, if you show me a naked fact, I like to put a bow tie on and give it a pair of dancing slippers and see what will happen. But April Fool's Day had to be brutally honest, and I found the experience terribly harrowing.
And this was the account of Damon, your son, who had haemophilia and then contracted HIV/AIDS through a blood transfusion. But, you know, at the end of that book, I had someone who said, you know, I was a bit of a hardliner about especially people who had got HIV/AIDS who had been gay. And she said, you know, at the end of reading Bryce Courtney's book, I just put it down and went, no one deserves to get this condition, no one. And I thought, what a great, you know, very generous thing to do out of heartbreak.
Oh, Alex, you know, the point was that I can't take credit for that. As Damon was dying, I held him in my arms, and this, you know, he was about 5'11" or 5'10", and he was like a little simian creature, and he weighed 43 pounds, and he said, Dad, please, please tell the world that it's only a virus and it's not a punishment from God. And I said, I can't, Damon, we're too private, you know, it's too private. And he said, please, please, Dad. And, you know, his voice was barely audible. And then he said, you can even sing Summertime. And let me explain what's meant by that. I never, ever put a hand on my kids. But when they were really bad, I would sing them Summertime. And they'd say, please, please, we'll be better. Don't sing Summertime. And he said, you can even sing Summertime.
Oh,
and
Bryce.
I Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high. Your daddy's rich, and your mama's good looking. So hush, little baby, don't wake up singing, and you'll spread your wings and you'll reach for the sky. But until that time, why, nothing can harm you, 'cause Daddy and Mommy are standing by. And my son died in my arms.
Oh,
and I had to write the book, Alex. I had no choice. So I can take no credit for it.
We'll watch tonight. I look forward to seeing you in the future here, around the traps in Canberra, maybe in the studio.
Well, thank you for this lovely, lovely city. Yeah. It really is a treasure, and I'm enjoying it enormously. And thank you for this interview. You've been very kind.
Thanks, Bryce.